Welcome to the Fellowship Kansas City Sermon Podcast, where each week we explore biblical preaching from God's holy word. We are a church in Kansas City seeking to reach 250,000 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning in with us as we are multiplying disciples together.
Amen. I'm going to invite you to be seated and grab your copy of God's word. David, thank you for leading us today. I know David Andrews is absent. His grandfather passed away yesterday, and so he is with his family. We're grateful for him and his ministry, but we're grateful for David Livingston as well. He's served alongside us at the Fellowship Kansas City, and a brother of mine. Thank you so much. Find 2 Timothy chapter 2 in your Bible today, because I believe God has a message for us over the next 2 weeks entitled Courage to Stand, Compassion to Care. Today, I want to look at the first portion of that, Courage to Stand. And I want to be very forthright with you. This is a message to men. It's a message to you, men. That's not to say you ladies are unimportant, that you're second class, which could be further from the truth. Instead, this is a message for men, because I believe that God has redeemed men, men who have come to be spiritual men. They have been born again. They have come to declare Jesus Christ as their Lord. And what we see in the Bible is that these men have been recognized and God speaks to men, which is why today the health and the benefit of men within our very fellowship and spiritual family benefits our overall community. And I want you to see that from the Word of God. Men, let me be clear. You are important to our community. You're important to our spiritual family here at the Fellowship Kansas City. And while we live in a culture that is quick to push men to the sidelines, they want to sow seeds of confusion about what it means to be a man. Let us be clear. Men, God has called you, redeemed you for a purpose. And in our culture, where men are shackled to the adolescence of folly, to find the juvenile pursuits of pleasure, what we find here today is that God has called you to be a man. And when we come, He has called you to be a man who sees clearly within the world ripe with confusion, which is why I come. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe God has verses 3 through 7 for us, but I want to provide us context. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me in the honor of reading God's word and begin reading with me in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is what God's word says. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering of a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the recruiter. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything, and that, Lord, is what we ask today. We ask that you would give your Holy Spirit to us today. That you would give to us understanding. And I pray for the men in this room, the men that are gathered with us online. Lord, I pray that your spirit would awaken them to hear your word today and to respond to you. Lord, these are days that you are raising up men, and I pray that we would honor them in this day because we honor that your hand is upon them. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we walk through this passage, we see that God lays out a plan for how he wants to use men to redeem and save a lost and dying world. He's calling forth men to stand up with courage and to soldier in this day and age. Men, I want you to take your eyes with me to verses 1 and 2. Because the Apostle Paul writes here to his son in the faith. He writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy. And throughout this letter, Paul has used language that would be a slave steward's language. It would describe how a slave steward has a responsibility within his master's household. Understand with me, in the first century, a slave steward would be responsible for managing the affairs of a master's house whenever he was in absence. And what we see here is that these slave stewards in the first century would manage large properties, thousands of slaves. They would be ones that would be overseeing all of the affairs of business. They would make determinations regarding profit and loss. They would look at the health and the well-being of the slaves. And then they would work on the buying and selling to profit the master. All throughout the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, Paul uses this language of slave steward responsibility to remind both Timothy and Titus of this truth, men. As slave stewards, we will be responsible to our heavenly master. We will be responsible to how we have stewarded what he has entrusted to us to one day when our heavenly master returns. And Paul uses this language. But what we see when we come to verse 2 is that there is a responsibility that Timothy has to entrust to faithful men sound teaching. Take your eyes to verse 2 with me. Paul writes, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That phrase in verse 2, "and what you have heard from me," is directly connected to chapter 1, verse 13, where he's talking about the sound doctrine that has been passed forth. What we see here is that God's plan is for faithful men, those who have come to rely upon the power of God to save them from their sins. They have come to declare Jesus Christ as their Lord. These men, Christian men, men like you and I today, are called forth in service to God to teach a new generation, as Paul writes here, the good thing entrusted to them. Verse 14 of chapter 1. The Bible says that this is God's strategy. Men, you are to be teachers. Teachers in the home, teachers in the workplace, teachers within the community of the good thing God has entrusted to you. But what we recognize as we move through this passage is that God also gives characteristics that he is calling forth men to possess in this divine task. And I want to show you these first three characteristics today. First, understand with me, God is calling forth men with courage. God is calling forth men with courage. How do we know that? Take your eyes to verse 3 with me. Verse 3, men, it says this: share in the sufferings of a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to circle that word suffering right there. I want you to circle it because that word suffering is lost on many Christian men in our generation. I'm going to step on your toes because the Word of God steps upon our toes. Many Christian men in our day have found themselves attracted to the life of comfort and ease. They have found themselves quick to find the path of least resistance, the place of some temporary pleasure or experience. But that is not what God calls forth men, Christian men, to embrace. Instead, he says this to you, men: share in, here's that word again, share not in comfort, share not in pursuits and pleasure, but share in suffering. Do you see that there? And when Paul spoke these words, the men that heard them knew exactly what he was talking about, because he says suffering is connected to soldiering. And every soldier in the first century in the Roman army knew suffering all too well, because they went through basic training together. The Roman army, understand with me, had three stages to their training of soldiers. And their training of soldiers was to make soldiers suffer together so that it would bind them together. The first stage is that they would make them march mile after mile, all without arms. Then they would take these enlisted men, these soldiers, and they would make them come and experience excruciating physical condition and training. The last step is they would then give them arms drills and weapons training. And then these Roman soldiers would carry packs 50, 60 pounds and more as they marched mile after mile, continually enduring the suffering of a soldier. They had come to willingly forego the life of ease, and they have come, as verse 3 says, as good soldiers to suffer. Men, to soldier is to understand that it is to suffer. And it requires courage, courage that is found deep within our soul. There is a seed within us that calls forth men to embrace suffering and to embrace it with courage. So I ask, where is that seed of courage within you today? You've known all too well how it starts to foster and grow. As you watch war movies and you hear these battle movies, and you can almost in your soul feel the march of the armies moving forward, and inside of us, it invigorates us men with courage. It's what happens sometimes in sporting events as we see our favorite team start to walk down and march down towards the end zone with the clock running out. There's this way within us that the drum beats of manhood rise to the surface, and we experience just for a moment great courage. But the question is asked not about courage of soldiers, not about courage of sport, but the courage of a Savior. Where are the men today that have come to abandon all and stand courageously for their God? I believe they are here. I believe they are you. Because these men, as we see right here, are men who are called forth in verse 3, not to stand and soldier with courage for a king or a country, but hear me, for a Christ. Take your eyes back to verse 3. He says there, share in the sufferings as a good soldier. And notice those last three words, of Christ Jesus. He does not say another soldier of another man. He says a soldier of the Savior, your King. Men, this should bring great comfort to you and I today. It should put a little swagger back into your soldiering. Why? Because it reminds you these three little words of Christ Jesus, that your employer does not own you. Your company or corporation, they don't own your life. Christ does. He's the one that purchased you. Talk about walking in with a little swagger to the office tomorrow or on your Zoom call if need be. Because what you find is that you walk in recognizing that you're in the position you're in, not to bring profit to your company, not to expand your career, but because your Christ, your King, has placed you there for a divine purpose. That's what we see. He purchased you. Not when you could add anything to the bottom line, but when you had nothing to add. He purchased you, and you, Christian man, have great worth to your King. Which is why when we come here, it is time for men to remind one another, Christian men, to remind one another of this truth. God is calling forth men with courage. But we see that there is a second characteristic that comes. And we must understand that God is not only calling forth men with courage, God is calling forth men with clarity. With clarity. To be a soldier is to understand the nature of war. It's to know what your enemy is doing and to understand the strategies of attack that he is deploying against you. That is what it means to be a soldier. Men, look around. We are in a spiritual war for the heart of this generation. We're in a battle As Ephesians 6 says, with a spiritual enemy that is sending forth fiery missiles to divide. And he's calling upon men to recognize this, to not only stand with courage, but to stand with clarity, to have our eyes opened by the Bible and through the work of the Spirit of God within our life, to see what really is taking place in this world. As we have recognized in our nation this last week, there is an urgent need for Christian men to stand and to courageously articulate what is truly taking place in the world. Why? Why is the Christian man necessary in this critical time? Why is it? Because the Bible, let me be very clear, the Bible says the Christian man has a unique understanding, a unique clarity to see what is taking place. Not experience, not some education, not some theory, not some man, but the Bible says to you, men, that you have a unique ability given to you by God. Which is why I want you to write in the side margins of your Bible, side margins of your note, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. You can flip to those to this passage if you want, but I read it to you because it says this: we, speaking to the Christian man, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but by those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the Bible, not man, not experience, not some theory, the Bible says this: but the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. What the Bible is saying is that the carnal man, the man without the Spirit of God within his life, is under a veil. He is unable to understand spiritually what is taking place in the world. Yet the Bible says this: the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. The Bible is saying this, that those without Jesus are unable to see what is truly taking place in this world. They are under a veil of darkness, and they are relying upon human wisdom. Let me give you a second passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Because it says this, men, to understand with clarity, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this age has literally blinded those of this world without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it says this: they are unable, incapable of seeing the gospel. What is that? Well, it's this: they are unable to see who God really is. They do not recognize his holiness, his magnitude, his sovereignty all over all. But you know what else they don't recognize? They don't recognize the depravity of man. How wicked and sinful man is. Man isn't inherently good. Man is inherently rebellious. It's what the Bible says. All have been condemned. Why? Because all mankind has rebelled against our God. There is no one righteous, not even one. So they have come to not even be able to recognize who God is and how depraved man is. But when it comes to Jesus, they do not believe who Jesus is and what he is capable to do. That means this: God has revealed it to them, but through creation, through the testimony of the saints, but they have been spiritually blind to recognize that Jesus alone is the only hope of glory. Jesus alone is the only one who is fully God and fully man, who went to the cross to take the punishment of their sin, to offer them hope in the midst of hopelessness. The Bible says that the God of this age has blinded them to resist Jesus and the good news, the gospel, the good news of what he has done for them. As a result, they have not responded, and they have rebelled, and they continued to operate under a spiritual blinder by sin and a demonic blinder at work, sowing confusion and deception and division within our world. That's exactly what our enemy is doing. But now is the time for the Christian man to stand up and to bring clarity to the confusion, to bring integrity to the deception. It's time for the Christian man to bring unity to the division. Our nation needs Christian statesmen. They need Christian gentlemen, men that understand that God's ways are the best ways and they are their ways. There are men that open up the Proverbs and they recognize that the way we understand and live our life matters. Truth matters, and so do our words. As Proverbs 4:15 would say, a discerning mind seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on foolishness. Men, what we have witnessed across our nation this week is not the work of a Christian man. Just as a Christian man stands up unapologetically to protect the sanctity of every human life, regardless of their age, regardless of their race, regardless of their ethnicity, it is also the Christian man that does not fall prey to truth contortions and conspiracies. We see clearly what has taken place. We can be blunt. Regardless of whether you are blue or red or green politically, regardless of whether you get your news from CNN, Fox News, or Newsmax, regardless if you use Facebook, Twitter, or Parler, I do not care. But what I know is we must come to recognize that the putrid pundits are spinning stories attempting to manipulate you and to market off of you. They're coming upon you to capitalize upon those to fall prey. Should you not forget that each and every one of them is a multi-billion or million-dollar business? Their entire work is to capitalize and profit off of you. And what we have witnessed in our society is the most sordid ideas of our society, those who have been historically on the fringe, counted as fools, have now been given the cultural microphone to broadcast their ignorance through what is considered mainstream. Let us be clear, Christian men. Let us stand and call it what it is: foolishness, rubbish, folly. And with this, let us call upon one another to stand with clarity, to understand our calling, both spiritually and eternally in this day and age. Because the Spirit of God has placed you in this moment. He has placed you in this moment to see clearly the work of the demonic and to recognize the damning effects of sin. Stand up. Speak clearly. Understand that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Which is why I come back to verse 7 in this verse. Because what it says to you is this: consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Do you see that there? It requires you, men, to have the Lord as the leader of your life. And when you hear that, the Bible, not me, the Bible says the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Yet, we have to ask the question, how do I truly understand what the Lord is saying? How do I come to see things clearly? And here's where I want to help you, men. I want to stand with you and I want to teach you the secret to understanding what the Lord is teaching. Two things: reading God's word and prayer. I know you've heard it a million times, but let me say it a million more. Reading God's word in prayer is what gives the spiritual man understanding of what is taking place in this world. How do we know this? It's because the Bible teaches us that.
It's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we listen to him as our Lord and our leader. But let's be honest. Many of our quiet times, our prayer times, our time with the Lord more look like a kid at Chuck E. Cheese birthday party than they look like what God intends. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all been to the chaos of a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party. The kid's supposed to sit there, and he's supposed to eat his pizza, but he skips over it so he can go run like a ping pong ball through all of the different games. He's attracted to every single light and every single ticket, and that's what he pursues in his life. So often we sit, and we know it's time to open up the Bible, but we skim over it. Just like we skim over that pizza, then we bow our head and mentally we run from one game to the next, never truly experiencing the presence of God, never truly listening to what he is saying to you. However, I want to encourage you. Talk to God like you have a personal relationship with him. Systematically, men, read his word. If you have a hard time reading lengthy passages, let me invite you. In about 3 weeks, I'm going to begin preaching a series through 1 Samuel. We're going to walk through 1 Samuel. I'm excited about it. If you want to read the Bible, start reading 1 Samuel. It's a story that will captivate you and move through. And then follow it off with 2 Samuel. Read a proverb a day. One chapter out of Proverbs and think through that. And use that as your time of prayer. But in your time of prayer, some of you think all these different things in your time of prayer. And before you know it, it's kind of a waste. Because you're not really praying. You're just thinking. So let me encourage you. You can find me oftentimes in my home, in my quiet time, praying to the Lord, just like I do on a Sunday morning. I pray out loud. It's a way that helps me articulate and then know when to be quiet and listen. It's a conversation I have with God. Maybe that's what you need to begin, starting tomorrow. Reading God's word, praying out loud, and sitting there to listen. Because what we are asking God to do is to give us insight into things that we do not understand. And let me tell you, I have heard from the Lord, not verbally, not like auditorily, but I've heard from him beyond a shadow of a doubt, undeniably. Lord's told me to do some things that didn't seem normal for me. They were uncomfortable to me. Do you know what I've learned, men? If you start spending time with the Lord and you follow through with obedience, the ways that God tells you to respond will be the right ways. And he has not only shown himself faithful in the past, but I believe he's trustworthy for the future, which is why, in a simple way, God comes forth to call men today. To call men forth with clarity. To understand what is going on in the world, to see what is taking place, and it comes by prioritizing time with God. It will not happen on YouTube or Fox News or in the classroom. Clarity comes through the prayer room, and we see that in God's word today. Hang with me because I see God calling forth men with courage, calling forth men with clarity. But we see one final characteristic of man that he's calling, and he is calling forth men with commitment. Take your eyes with me to verse 4. It says this, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the recruiter." Do you see that there? That last phrase, "He seeks to please the recruiter," provides a little opportunity for us to have some context. Because in the first century, the way they recruited a soldier was different than how we do so today. Today, if you want to sign up for one of our armed services, you would find the recruiting office. You would go through the recruiter and they would get you scheduled and you would go to boot camp. And after boot camp, you would be trained in your specialty before you went on in service wherever they were placing you. But here, the Roman army, the commander himself would come in. The recruiter himself would come in and he would recruit the soldiers that would come underneath his authority. Rather than being dispatched somewhere else, whoever recruited you would be your commander. And Paul is writing in verse 4. Every single one of these Christian men understood this verse. But notice with me. Take your eyes back. Who is the recruiter in this verse? Who's the Bible getting at, Christian men, that is the recruiter, the commander? Is it Paul? No. Is it Timothy? No, it's not. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one the Bible is teaching us here, who has come to personally recruit these men to serve in this spiritual army. Men, listen up. Jesus is still the same one who has come to personally call forth men to service. He's personally called forth men to come be your commander, your recruiter. And it's time for Christian men to regain that song of our childhood. You know the song. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never shoot the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. It's what it says. It's what we see within this passage. And the question I've got to press upon you, men, is whose army are you in? Truthfully, who's your recruiter that you are trying to please? Who's the commander that has control over your life? I ask this question because when we come back to verse 4, it says this: no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. The Roman soldier had one single focus, and it was to please the recruiter. They weren't concerned about the affairs of everyday life. In fact, they didn't even marry. They didn't have a side job. Instead, they weren't even worried about who was making the playoffs to the Colosseum Bowl. No, their focus was what their commander, their recruiter wanted, and that's what they gave their life to. That's why today I believe God is calling forth men to make a commitment. Yes, to soldier with courage. Yes, to see with clarity, but to do this undivided to the mission of God. That's what I believe God is calling forth men to do. Christian men stand unique. Think about the Great World War. There, as those motor boats would be roaring, as soldiers would be upon those boats, as they moved closer to the beach, and then those big steel gates would drop, and the enemy's bullets would be whizzing by. But these men, valiant men, courageous men, would take their rifles, hold them up high, and plunge themselves into the water there outside of Normandy to storm the beach on D-Day, to take and recognize the enemy that was rolling across the world. These men understood what was at stake, and they were courageous, and they were committed because they did not want to see the evil atrocities continue to slide around the world. Today, Christian men, that is what God is calling us to do, to stand up courageously, to commit valiantly to the spiritual war that is taking place in this generation. And I believe the men that God is calling forth are here. They're here today. They are you. They're your husband. They're your son, your dad. I believe that they're here. And God is calling you forth to soldier in the political arena. God is calling you forth to soldier in the economic arena, the business community, the educational arena, the spiritual arena. God is calling forth these men. And so here's my ask today. Is there a man among us who would stand right now and say, yes, Lord, I will soldier for you? Is there a man here? If so, let him stand. If there's a man that is willing right now to acknowledge before the Lord, I will stand and soldier undivided to you. Let him stand right now. Is there more? If you're joining us online, stand in your home. Make it so that your wife and your children see that the men are standing up. And they're coming to what it says right here. That God is calling forth your sons and your husbands. He's calling forth your dads to stand and make a commitment. And church, let's applaud these men. In a day and age where everyone else is being pushed to the side, there's men willing to stand up for the Lord, to say, Jesus is Lord over my life. And let them labor. Men today, as you stand, labor to the Lord. Soldier to the Lord as your commander, your recruiter. Heavenly Father, I pray today over these men. Men that you have redeemed, saved from their sins, brought them to soldier for you. Lord, I pray over these men, the power of God to stand with courage, to stand with clarity, and to stand as they are right now with a commitment to say, Jesus, you are my Lord, and I will soldier for you. Lord, I pray for the hope of our nation. I pray for the hope of our city, that these men and the families they represent would be sent forth to wage this spiritual war and to stand with clarity over the work that you're doing today. Heavenly Father, we cannot do this on our own, but we do not want to. We want to do so in the name of Jesus. So may you be pleased by the men here today, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to another sermon from the Fellowship Kansas City. Our church worships together every Sunday morning. We would love for you to partner with us in our mission in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information on how to be involved, please visit our website at fellowshipkc.com.